بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم نحمده و نصلی علی رسول الکریم اما بعد الحمدللہ today is the 16th of April in the year 2021 الحمدللہ we moved on to the fourth glorious day of the holy month of Ramadan and I've reached verse 36 of the blessed Surah Nisa. So inshallah we'll spend the session on this verse. So verse 36, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Worship Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and do not join any partners with Him and show excellence to your parents, your family, orphans, those in need, neighbors who are near, neighbors who are far, the companion by your side, the traveler you meet, and what your right hand possess. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love the arrogant or the vainglorious. So, in this holy verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the rights of Himself, first and foremost, and then the rights of the creation. So there's a report which explains the right of His magnificence. In Bukhari and Muslim, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah and Mishkat, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu, do you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's right is on His servant? It is that they should worship Him. And then he recited this portion, وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا, and not to associate partners with Him. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, do you know the rights of the servants have over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that is, He will not punish them if they abstain from this. Subhanallah. So this is the rough meaning of the hadith. So what is our Lord's right upon us? And that is, we should not associate partners with Him. That's His right. But the second part is fascinating. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you have a right over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And your right is, as long as you do not commit shirk, He will not punish you. Then Mu'adh actually said, Ya Rasulullah, shall I give the glad tidings? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, because people will put too much emphasis on this. They'll rely upon this too much. And it's true. Because when you hear that, boy, you're thinking, if I don't commit shirk, am I not going to get punished? There you go. The Prophet said, this is what I fear. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the verse continues and says, and show excellence, ihsan, to your parents. Meaning is a competition. You should strive your best to show honor to your parents. Then it mentions, وَبِذِلْ qurba, i.e. your family. Then it mentions, وَالْيَطَامَ, the orphans. Then it says, وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, i.e. the destitute. Then it mentions the neighbors. But Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He separates the neighbors into two categories. وَالْجَارِ ذِلْقُرْبَ وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبْ. So who is being referred to here? So first is a report in Ibn Jarir, Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, Ibn Hajar in Fath al-Bari 10-441 states, the hadith is Hasan. Abdullah Ibn Abbas, he recited the first portion. وَالْجَارِ ذِلْقُرْبَى, the neighbors who are near, he explained, those who are related to you. Then he says, وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبْ, those neighbors who are strangers, those who are not related to you. So according to Ibn Abbas, when Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, show excellence to the neighbors who are qurba, it means your related neighbors, those who have got blood ties with you. And when he says, وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبْ, it means, according to Ibn Abbas, neighbors who have no blood tie with you. Mujahid added, rahmatullah alayh, in Ibn Jarir Ibn Kathir's tafsir, he said, wal jarul junub, the neighbors who are strangers, refers to the traveling companion. So when you're traveling and you have somebody with you, next to you, that is your neighbor. Well, Allah is referring to your part-time neighbor. Show excellence to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions. So now, because neighbors have immense rights, we need to know in a nutshell who they are. So the first thing to point out is, who are being referred to here. So there's three views. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani said in Fathul Bari, volume 10, page 441, Al-Jar al-Qareeb means those who are related by blood. Jar al-Junub means those who are not related by blood, which I've mentioned. This is the opinion of the majority, said Ibn Hajar. Then he said, others have said Jar al-Qareeb refers to Muslims, and Jar al-Junub refers to non-Muslims. Muslim relative, Muslim neighbor, non-Muslim neighbor. Oh, Jar al-Qareeb refers to one's wife, and Jar al-Junub refers to one's traveling companions. So there's three different meanings here. But the majority say it refers to blood and non-blood. The second thing to point out is, when you say neighbor, who are you referring to? Your immediate neighbor, or is there a boundary? The Quran clearly highlights that anybody who lives in your locality is your neighbor. Where does it mention that? In Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33, verse 60, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if the hypocrites and those with a disease in their hearts stir up sedition in the city and they do not desist, we shall certainly stir you up against them. Then they will not be able to stay in it as your neighbors for any length of time. La yujawirunaka fiha illa qalila. Thus Allah the Almighty considered that the hypocrites' presence in Medina made them the neighbors of the Prophet. Look how amazing. Allah Ta'ala even called the munafiqs of Medina the neighbors of the Prophet. So what does it mean? Locality. They're all your neighbors. So the Quran is not actually putting a border. It's saying anybody in your locality is your neighbor, technically. However, there is a report. And the report is from Abu Bakr ibn Shahab rahmatullah alayh. He said, 40 houses to the right, 40 houses to the left, 40 houses to the rear, and 40 houses to the front. This is in Fath al-Bari, volume 10, page 447. So you don't start counting it, right? 1, 2, 3, sorry, may your 41st, right? It means your locality. So Ibn Shahab mentioned this. So he's explaining the verse of the Quran. But of course, the ones who are closer to your immediate dwelling are more worthy of the rights. So your immediate neighbor, of course, has greater rights. But Quranically, the description is locality. So now let's mention some of the things our beloved messenger mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's exhaustive, but I'll mention some of the more important reports. In Sahih Bukhari, number 6016, Sahih Muslim, number 46, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will not enter paradise whose neighbor is not safe from his bad behavior. SubhanAllah. He will not enter paradise whose neighbor is not safe from his bad behavior. Meaning, don't harm your neighbor. And the Prophet said, you will not enter paradise, you're in trouble. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another report, again in Sahih Bukhari, number 6014, Sahih Muslim, number 2624, our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam kept recommending me to treat my neighbors well until I thought he would tell me to make him one of my heirs. So imagine Jibreel descends, look after your neighbor, look after your neighbor. And the Prophet actually thought any minute now they're going to inherit from me. But that didn't come. Another report. This is recorded in Sahih Bukhari, number 6475, and Sahih Muslim, number 47 and 74. Our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the last day should not harm his neighbor. So notice the word. If you harm your neighbor, do you actually believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the last day? This is the meaning here. Meaning, don't harm the neighbor. This is a sign of that your iman is weak. Another report. In Tirmidhi, Ahmad Darimi Hakim Sahih, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of neighbors in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is best to his neighbor. So it's a competition. You should not allow your neighbor to beat you. If he shows hospitality, you beat him. Right? Because it's in the sight of Allah ta'ala, you're competing. Another report. This is recorded in Ibn Abi Shayba, volume 8, page 547, Sahih Mursal Tabarani in his Kabir, volume 23, page 258, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no deed which harms a neighbor can be regarded as small. So here the Prophet warned that there is no small sin when it comes to your neighbors. So think of a small sin, throwing litter. If you throw litter into your neighbor's yard, that's a major sin. The Prophet goes, there's no small crime with your neighbor. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another report. In Ibn Hibban, number 1232, Sahih, our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, four things contribute to happiness: a righteous wife, a spacious home, a righteous neighbor, and a comfortable means of transport. And four things contribute to misery, the opposite. So you should make dua for this. So what are the four things? The Prophet goes, then you'll be given happiness. One is a righteous wife. Secondly, a comfortable home. Thirdly, a righteous neighbor. Think about that. And fourthly, reliable transport. And if you've got the opposite, then you go, you've got misery. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, make dua for this. In another report, this hadith is recorded in Ahmad, Bukhari's Al-Adab al-Mufrad, Tabrani in his Kabir, and his Jayyid. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man to commit adultery with 10 women is less in crime for him than if he commits adultery with the wife of his neighbor. Astaghfirullah. Miqdad said, the Prophet asked him about stealing. He said the same. If a man were to steal from 10 houses, it would be a less sin than if he were to steal from his neighbor's house. Think about that. So if a man is, imagine if somebody, you know somebody who's committed zina 10 times with 10 different women. Another person commits zina with his neighbor, he's worse. Look how great the crime becomes. A person commits theft from 10 houses, one does it from his neighbor, he's worse. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, meaning, don't harm your neighbor. In another report it mentions, so this is recorded in Sahih Hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he made a dua, so let's make dua this auspicious time. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I seek refuge with you from a bad neighbor in my permanent home, for the neighbor in the desert always changes. Ameen. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I seek refuge with you from a bad neighbor in my permanent home, for the neighbor in the desert always changes. Meaning, if you're moving, the neighbor is only part-time with you, traveling neighbor. But I don't want to have a headache. And this is a dua. And think about it, the Prophet made that dua. He goes, Ya Allah, protect me from that. I don't want headache with my neighbors. But we don't even make this dua, imagine. Disputes with the neighbors, how serious is it? In Tabrani, in his Kabir, Ahmad, in his Musnad, is Sahih, Al-Haythami, in Majma' al-Zawaid, volume 10, page 349, states, Hassan, Hafiz Munziri, in his Targheeb, states, Jayyid. The Prophet said, the first two opposing parties on the Day of Judgment will be two neighbors. Think about that. Allah Ta'ala straight away deals with the first argument, the neighbors. Think about that. Everything else comes after. Neighbors first. Showing that don't dispute with them, otherwise you're in trouble. It could lead to the hellfire. In Ahmad ibn Hibban, Hakim Sahih, a man asked, Abu Huraira reports, a man asked, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a woman who prays, gives sadaqah, she fasts a great deal, but she harms her neighbor with her speech. Just with her speech. The Prophet said, she goes to hell. The man then said, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's another woman. Doesn't keep many fasts, doesn't pray much. She gives sadaqah only from dried yogurt. But she doesn't harm her neighbor. The Prophet said, she goes to paradise. So let's look at this. What was the first woman doing? She was very strong in her personal worship. Salah, sadaqah, fasting, great. But with her speech, she harmed her neighbor. What did the Prophet say? She's doomed. The other woman, very poor in her worship, but she had the understanding with the neighbor. She's successful. Meaning, don't harm your neighbor. Neighbors harming you. People say, oh my God, I've got a neighbor, my head's spinning with him, what can I do? The Prophet gave you advice. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ahmad ibn al-Mubarak in his jihad, Ibn Abi Asim in his jihad, authentic, Ibn Abi Shayba Abdul Razak, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are three whom Allah Ta'ala loves. One of them he loves, is he has a neighbor who disturbs him. But he puts up with the disturbance patiently until they are separated by death or one of them moves. Look how beautiful. Allah Ta'ala loves that neighbor. Your neighbor is harming you. And you just show patience. You say, Ya Allah, I'm doing this because I want you to love me. Mm-hmm. And the Prophet goes, the neighbor will either then be killed or he'll move. So think about that. Isn't it worth that little bit of harm coming? You say, I want Allah Ta'ala to love me. And at the same time, notice Allah Ta'ala is answering your dua because you're thinking, Ya Allah, this is too much. I'm only doing this because I want your love. Mm-hmm. But he will either die, think about that, or he'll move, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Another report. This is in Ahmad ibn Majah ibn Hibban Bayhaqi Sahih. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if you hear your neighbor saying you have done good, you have done good. And if you hear them saying you have done wrong, then you have done wrong. Meaning the neighbors are the ones who tell you about people. You'll find out about a person from the neighbor. This is why when Umar saw this man was moving his beard and this man was praising him. So Umar called that man. He said, why are you praising him? He said, is it because his beard is moving? He's doing zikr. And Umar then said, radiyallahu anhu, have you done business with him? He goes, no. Have you traveled with him? He goes, no. Are you his neighbor? No. He goes, you don't know him. And that's true. Those three things, you do business, you find out, I can't believe it. Dariyat here, rip me off. Or you travel with somebody, and you find out all the horrible characteristics coming out from the person, you think, I thought he was a decent person. Or neighbor. Oh, right, the Prophet told you, you can tell by the neighbors that Allah alayhi wa sallam. This is what's interesting. If you have caused harm to your neighbor, the Prophet told you how to get rid of it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Sahih Bukhari, number 525, Sahih Muslim, number 144. A man commits sins. He's in fitna. The word is fitna. The Prophet used the word fitna. But it means sins. With regards to his wife, his wealth, his children, his neighbor. It may be atoned by salah, fasting, sadaqah, enjoining the good, forbidding the evil. Subhanallah. So if you have a fitna with your wife, your children, your wealth, and your neighbor, those deeds will, inshallah, take away that. Salah, fasting, sadaqah, and what we're doing now. Enjoining the good, forbidding the evil. The Prophet told you this has the capacity to do it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, these are some of the reports with regards to the neighbor. Also, this is important to highlight. There's a report, the hadith is in Tabarani, Abu Ya'la is Hassan. Sorry, Tabarani, Bazar, Hassan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he does not believe in me who eats to his fill while his neighbor besides him is hungry and he knows about it. So you know your neighbor is in need and you eat to your fill. The Prophet goes, you don't believe in me. But notice, you must know. If you didn't know, that's an excuse. But you should know the status of your neighbor. In another report, in Tabarani, Abu Ya'la Hassan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he is not a believer who eats to his fill when his neighbor is hungry. In another report, in Bayhaqi Hassan al-Khara'iti, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he for whom Allah ta'ala wills goodness, he then makes him beloved to his neighbors. He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants goodness, he endears him to his neighbors. Meaning Allah ta'ala is showing you love and affection when you have a good connection with your neighbors. You should make dua for this. Sayyida Fatima radiyallahu anha, she once made dua all night for her neighbor. All night. And her son asked, mother, why have you made dua all night for your neighbor? And she said, the jar before the dar. The neighbor before the house. Look at the way how they knew her to get the help and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the rights of the neighbors. Now, another important thing here. One type of neighbor, jar il junub, the strange neighbors are the traveling companions, which some of the scholars have said. So when you're on a plane for 8 hours, your neighbor, Allah Ta'ala is testing you now, who's next to you? That's your neighbor. You're on a coach for 3-4 hours, your neighbor. It's not a coincidence, Allah Ta'ala is put in there to see how you're going to, he's got rights over you. So Mufti Taqi Uthmani, he said something very interesting here. And this is in his work, Dhikr wal Fikr, page 260-5. Mufti Taqi Uthmani said, very few people look after Jaril Junub, the neighbors who are strangers. Why? Because they think they will never see them again. Think about that. There's riya. You're with a person on a plane for months next year. Why don't you show him love and respect? You think, well, I'm never going to see him again. Stay away, look at the pollution. You're doing it for some, you know, there's some sickness in your heart that's not showing, making you show that love and affection. Then the Shaykh said, there is generally no fear of any long-term embarrassment if you do anything wrong, because he's not going to report you, he doesn't know who you are. Mm. People think, if he gets the wrong impression of me, who cares? I don't have to ever meet him again. Doesn't make no impression to me at all. Therefore, in buses, trains and planes, transport, pushing and shoving, you see on a daily basis. Mm. The Quran emphasizes the rights of the neighbors and relatives. Now look at the verse. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ. Then he says straight after that, وَصَاحِبِ بِالْجَمْ, the companions by your side. Neighbors who are near, neighbors who are far. Then he says, the companions by your side. Who are these? Mufti Taqi Uthmani says, this implies that person who is with you on a journey, the person seated next to you is Sahib al-Jam. As this is where people show weakness, the test becomes apparent. Many intellectuals and people who in their daily environments appear to be very cultured, well-mannered, they are found wanting in culture when one travels with them. All their apparent manners and culture suddenly left by the wayside, and they begin treating their companions traveling with them in an inferior and self-centered manner. The fact of the matter is, what character is there when it is displayed for fear of being embarrassed? That is showing off. When this fear of embarrassment passes by, the reality of the character of the person becomes apparent. Good character is an inner quality which is separated from fame and embarrassment. Riya. Think about it. So next time you're with somebody on a bus, coach, plane, you can do riya. How? He doesn't know who I am. I'll burp. I'll do whatever I want. I don't care about his report. Pure riya. Mm-hmm. If your iman is strong, you will show him love and respect like he's your brother. Because you're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So note here what the Shaykh was saying. He goes, there you go, people. That's why people, if you break it down, you see how rotten the person is. And yet the same person with his circle of friends, he shows civil, you know, I'm civilized. Why? Because he knows they're going to report. So, are you doing it for Allah? So, no, you're not. You're doing it for people. That's a clear proof that there's something wrong with you. The other thing is, now just to add this, to wrap up. What about neighbors on the world stage? Think about it. Neighbors on the world stage, what does that mean? So, who's our neighbor? France. Who's our neighbor? Greenland. Think about that. This is the world stage. What does Islam say about this? Now think about this. At a time when hunger is stalking Asia, Africa, we find in other parts of the world, the West, the rich comprise 20% of the world's population, but they control 80% of the world's wealth. It's working crazily to keep hold of that wealth. So think about it. One-fifth of the world population is the West. But they've got control of 80% of rizq. Then look what he says, look at these stats, shocking. 1975, Brazil burnt thousands of tons of coffee, burnt it, in order to maintain its price on the world market. So imagine, you see, you go to Brazil, 1975, thousands and thousands and thousands of kilos of coffee beans they were burning. Why aren't they giving it? Oh, we can't give it. Because we want the price. We want the full price for our coffee. Is that neighborly love? Right? Think about that. Number two. The European common market spends $50 million to destroy foodstuff and agricultural produce surplus to keep prices high. So rather than give the food to the poor, they burn it. Because no, we don't want prices to drop. We want the prices to be high. Is that neighborly love? Thirdly, America pay thousands of million dollars every year to farmers for not producing crops, not to protect its prices. Imagine, farmer gets a check. What's this? Sweet check coming in, right? Yeah, America's government paying it. Do not produce this crop. Why? Because they're keeping their prices. What happened to neighborly love for them? Fourthly, American farmers kill and bury tens and thousands of calves to maintain the price of meat. They kill, slaughter calves. Why? So meat price can stay high. At the same time, tens of thousands of people die of starvation in Africa, Asia, Latin America. Such is the great difference between Islamic civilization, which does not even allow a man to smell, to let the smell of his food reach his neighbor, and the materialistic Western civilization, which threatens millions with starvation and death. That's Islam. Where are our speakers? Right? Imagine somebody goes to you, what are we allowed to do? If you're cooking something, the Prophet said, don't let the smell reach your neighbor, because they might hurt them. What are the so-called civilized Westerners? We can't even do that. They're slaughtering animals, paying farmers not to grow crops, harming everybody. Then look what he said, the Sheikh, this is in the work, Ali Hassan Abi Abdul Hamid, Neighbors Rights, page 48 to 9. How wretched are those who are running after the materialistic systems in the utter darkness of Jahiliyyah. So this verse, yes, neighbors, but you can take it on a social level and you can take it on the world level as well. How much harm is the world suffering because they're not acting upon this verse? Think about it, right? People are dying and you're causing people to die just because of the sake of money, materialistic bent. Astaghfirullah. So note here, this is also important. Now if you look at the reason I've talked about neighbors at length is because it's very important to understand. There's many other reports, but you get the gist. If you look at the end of the verse, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا. There's two things that Allah ta'ala does not love. He doesn't love the mukhtal. He doesn't love fakhur. Who are these two? Mujahid explained, Mukhtal refers to the proud. And fakhura means boasting about what he has whilst he does not thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about that. So Allah ta'ala says at the end of this verse, I always tell you to reflect upon the end of the verse. Allah ta'ala always says something at the end of the verse. After talking about all these rights, starting with Allah ta'ala himself, down to neighbors and their traveling companion, who does he say he doesn't love? He doesn't love the proud, and he doesn't love the one who's been given, but he doesn't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a perfect way to end the verse. That's exactly what the materialistic West are doing. They're proud and they're not showing thanks for what Allah Ta'ala has given them. As if Allah Ta'ala was telling them 1,400 years ago, I know the games that you're playing. Right? And what's tragic, people look up to the West. Imagine if somebody goes to you, mass murderers, would you look up to them? Of course not, right? Well, why are you looking up to the West then? Because how they cook, it's okay, out of sight, out of mind, but it's still murder. You're still killing people. So note here, Allah Ta'ala warned the believers, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَهُورًا. Allah Ta'ala does not love the proud, nor does He love those who are given, and they do not show thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's one of the meaning to finish. In Abu Khaytama, in his Kitab al-Ilm number 39, Sa'id ibn Jubair, he recited the verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا. Allah Ta'ala does not love the mukhtal. He said, this is with regards to knowledge. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala does not like the one or love the one who is proud of his knowledge. Look at these amazing statements of the Salaf, right? They're looking at the Quran and you think, hey, can you be proud? Yes. You haven't been given knowledge to butter people over the head with. Right? To draw attention to yourself. The knowledge is the inheritance of the prophets. And if you have that, Allah Ta'ala is warning you in this verse. He doesn't love that person. Shaitan, do you have knowledge? Right? Does Allah Ta'ala love him? Where that one at? Why? Because he was fakhula. He was mukhtal. He was damned because of his knowledge. Astaghfirullah. So I'll recite the verse. And we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَعَبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes the Quran the Rabbi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives me for any edits which I may have inadvertently uttered. سبحانك بحمدك سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى من شأنهم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصوا بالحق وواصوا بالصبر صدق الله.